Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast, available everywhere podcasts are. So please leave a rating and a review on your audio platform of choice. We're on YouTube as well, where we do some extra content, some Power Ranger reviews, a video version of this podcast, and other wonderful things. We're available podcastnamedtim.com. That is our website. You can go through and see every single movie we've ever watched and our reviews for it. You can also see on there all of our different platforms we're on. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So we're on all the major social media sites. No Truth Social account, unfortunately. But we are here to talk about some fun movies. 30 Days of Night and Chinese Speaking Vampires. It is Vampire Week here. Closing out Halloween. Should note for everyone, mark your calendars. Halloween night or Halloween day, I guess, we'll be dropping a bonus episode for Halloween Kills. We'll be giving our thoughts on that then. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
Boosted up and fantastic.
Well, I did not watch too much extra this week. It's been a getting my Power Ranger watching on so we can do the reviews. Watched a little bit of the Addams Family from the 2019. The daughter has a bad habit of watching like half of movies. So I watched half of that. I watched half of The Halloween Tree, which I grew up watching. I haven't watched in a long
time. I don't know what that is.
It's on Tubi.
I saw you send it to your sister and I was like, what the heck is this? I
don't know. We had the VHS. We had the VHS at Mom's house.
Halloween Tree.
Mm-hmm.
I guess your mom would know better.
Ray Bradbury and Leonard Nimoy.
Are the voices?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I turn it on, I'll be like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Halloween Tree.
It's very good. It's as good as I remember it being, and I mean that in a positive way. Right. Hopefully I'll finish that up later. It's only like an hour and 8 minutes. It's on Tubi if you want to watch it.
You said 8 minutes?
108.
Oh, never mind.
Well, maybe an hour and eight. I don't know. I think it's
about
hour and eight, I think. That's what I've been watching. And then these movies. What about you?
I've been watching tons of stuff. Felt like movies.
Don't tell me about Doom, because I'm going to watch it. I know you watched it. We'll get to that another time.
That could be a bonus episode.
Or maybe we can do the old Dune and the new Dune as one episode. We'll get to that.
All right. I mean, I'm willing because I actually have thought about putting it on to see what the difference was because I did watch it. Remember, I tried to watch it last year sometime, and I just still couldn't just get into it. So I was going to watch it and see just how different. Let me see if they. I know the background story of course be the same, but I'm pretty sure this one was a lot different. That's all I'll say about it.
So.
Geez, I really wanted to talk about that too. So watch it. So we can do a thing.
I'm gonna watch.
I watched Bloodfest.
Okay.
Fun little silly horror movie. Kind of reminded me of the 80s type thing. Okay. Kind of did the whole don't make sure we follow all the horror movie rules. Don't break the rules or you get killed. Watched the Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman versus the Wolfman. No, I think it's Meets the Wolfman.
I think it's Meets, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much the Wolfman. It's really not very much Frankenstein. And it's not Frankenstein because it was when Bela Lugosi took over that one role, and he was a horrendous Frankenstein. But that being said, I researched it because I wondered why he took it over and why it was so bad. And I understand a little something about it now. It's when they first came up with that really animated Frankenstein walk.
Yeah.
His arms out and all that. Because the other one, was just slow and just kind of methodical. Yeah. Boris Karloff, who I like the best. There's a reason for that. First of all, Bela Lugosi actually had lines. Frankenstein had lines and had stuff. They cut it out, I guess, because it was so bad. Bela Lugosi's accent and all with coming Frank, it was horrible. He was horrible. So they cut all of his lines out. Because they cut his lines out, you didn't find out in the plot that he was blind. This Frankenstein was blind because the brain they put in there was a blind person. So he was feeling around, is what he was doing.
Oh.
I was like, oh, well, see, if I knew that, I still would have thought it was lame.
Right.
But it would have at least made sense. But I couldn't figure out why he was doing all that crazy, you know, arm moving. And it's like, what the hell is this? And of course, Lon Chaney Jr. was always the good Wolfman. But yeah, it was really weird to read how they all kind of interchanged. Lon Chaney has played, you know, several different of those Universal characters, and Bela Lugosi played a couple, and Boris Karloff played a couple. They didn't stick to their own thing. They kind of intertwined, I guess, depending on what actor was free when they needed to make the movie, I guess what it was. But it was kind of, you know, it's not one of the better Universal ones. Definitely was just, it was the first time that the two Universal characters ever I watched. I watched something else, and then I just watched all my regular shows, which I'm so far behind on now because we had extracurricular activities this week that just took up too much damn time.
Well, I should mention, I don't know if you've seen it because I know you see a lot of things before I do, on Netflix. How the Movies That Made Us.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
Okay, I watched the first one, which was Halloween. So I watched the making of Halloween. I think for this month they did Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Aliens. I don't know if that's an older one. I had never seen the Aliens one. And something else.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what they were.
Was it Coming to America?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. Which I didn't know how that fit into the horror show.
Yeah, but so I watched the Halloween one last night.
Yes, I was gonna watch those. I just haven't. I want to watch that. I want to watch that Rob Lowe thing, the Attack of the Hollywood. Cliches.
I don't know what that is.
Supposedly discusses, you know, how you always, if you have this scene, you have to have this, this, and this. And yeah,
right.
I kind of want to watch that. It's like a little hour long.
Okay.
See that. So now I watch a lot of stuff, and if anything pops into my head along the way, I'll just scream it out and interrupt like I always do.
That works for me. Well, let's go ahead and start with our movies. We're going to start with
talking about Dune.
I knew you wanted to.
And Halloween Kills. And
well, we're going to talk about Halloween
Kills. I know. I watched those.
We're going to go ahead and talk about 30 Days of Night. But before we do that, take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. 30 Days of Night came out in 2007, has a 1 hour and 53-minute runtime, has a 6.6 on IMDb, a 51 on the tomato meter, and a 56 from the audience score. It is about a town in Alaska, the northernmost town of Alaska, called Barrow. And when the sun goes down at one point of the year, it doesn't come up for a whole month, which is obviously not helpful if there are vampires lurking about. It stars Josh Hartnett. This was the last movie of what I'm going to call the Josh Hartnett might be the next big thing era. He had a nice little run from 2001 to here. And then after this, it's a bunch of movies you never heard of. This was it. This was the end of peak Josh Hartnett. This was my selection, I believe, for the week. So I will go ahead and let you go first. What did you think of 30 Days of Night?
Well, I watched it when it was originally out, but I didn't. I remembered the premise, but that was it. I didn't remember the story or title's interesting, 30 Days of Night. But I know that's what they have up in those areas. They have that darkness, which I like night, but I don't know if I want it for... I mean, those places where it's actually 6 months, it's just 6 months of darkness is crazy. 30 days, maybe I could pull off. But yeah, again, like that's the perfect place for vampires to live. I think that's great. You know what? I didn't mind it. I think they could have trimmed about 15 minutes off of it. It wasn't great. It wasn't good. It was all right. It entertained me for a little bit of time. It was not my favorite kind of vampires. I'm still the old school vampires. I like the Dracula type vampires and the sleek ones. But for this kind, it was okay. Danny Houston was good as the head guy. You know, Josh, they could have replaced him with anyone, and it would have been fine. Melissa George is just for the face. I liked they used that thing that we've talked about. It always seems creepier when it's in snow and insulation, and the thought that, you know, there's no road and they're out of that place after a certain amount of time, and you're pretty much stuck there. That really added to my, because I don't like to be stuck anywhere. It was really great when I read that it was filmed on a soundstage in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually pretty well done, because I really bought into the fact that they were up in Alaska and in the snow. But, it was very mid-range. It was okay. Better than some, not as good as others.
I love the concept. Absolutely love it. I think it's great. I think it suffered from a variety of issues.
Josh Hartnett.
He actually wasn't bad in it. Speaking before we get into that, there was one other person who I don't know if you recognize, and I recognized immediately. The guy who plowed into Stella's car and destroyed her car.
And who was that?
It was the Ninja Storm Red Ranger.
Yeah, it looked kind of familiar, but I never would have put that together.
Yeah, I looked it up. I was like, I know him. So, little plug to our YouTube page. Watch some of our Power Ranger reviews. The movie, I think, I agree with you. I like maniacal, sophisticated. I like
sexy vampires.
I like maniacal vampires. I don't like beastie vampires. And I think that it hurt the plot of the movie to not have those types, because this is a movie where I needed more of the villains. I wanted to see the villains plotting more. Like, because there was a couple times where they sent someone out for bait. So clearly they had come up with a plan. Or they had, were housing people that they were using for bait, I guess.
Right.
And so I wanted to see that side of things, like them holding the hostages and deciding who to pick and explaining what their plan was and just understanding the dynamics of this crew more, this vampire gang more. And I just thought it was weird that they just like showed up. Had they never showed up here before? What was the plan once dawn did hit? Like, what were we doing here?
Right.
I just didn't understand that aspect of it. I thought it looked really good, considering, like you said, that it was filmed over in New Zealand and Australia and all that, especially because a lot of those actors were Kiwis. But there is something that is hard to replicate and is intrinsically, you can just feel it. You can feel when actors are cold. This should have been filmed in Canada or somewhere cold. I think it would have, you can't describe it, but I think it just would have helped.
I didn't even catch that. I don't know why.
It just didn't feel cold to me.
It did to me, I think.
Yeah, same.
But I like to be cold, so then why I didn't ring a bell.
I didn't really care for the subplot of their love falling apart. And I think they did a good job of explaining it or getting into that.
Well, that was the 15 minutes we could have cut out of the thing.
Yeah. Well, and also the thing that they could have done a much better job of, and this is one of the few times I will ever, ever, ever argue for this. This movie should have been slower. Because when we talked, like when we talked about The Hateful Eight, you got that long ride in. Just that, you, if you're going to be in the snow and in the cold, I need a slow shots. And I didn't think they did a good enough job of explaining the time. Like, I didn't feel the passage of time in this movie. I mean, yeah, it came up every now and then, like, oh, it's day seven. Right. But I didn't feel the time.
Right.
I didn't feel like these people had been doing this
for a while. It didn't add to the tenseness of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, and you could look at Josh Hartnett and his barely stubble at day 27. I wanted to feel the time. The Shining, you feel the time. You understand that this has been a long time. So I just, they needed to do a much better job with that aspect of the film. And I think longer, slower shots, have some, just some of those shots of just the town with nothingness, just fill it in with those shots would have helped out a lot. What did you think of Josh Hartnett's solution at the end of the movie as far as how to get out of this pickle?
Why not? Couldn't think of a better one. I don't think it didn't elevate his character for me, but because I don't care about it. But what did you think?
I understood. My whole issue with the movie is I just didn't understand the point of where we were going. Because it was like, I'm pretty sure in the beginning of the movie, they had already attacked that location. Because isn't that where the people with the hard hats were?
Yeah.
So I just didn't understand. I was like, so we're going somewhere where we already know the vampires are, have been, and have cracked into that facility. It wasn't like the Winchester, where it had like an identity to it. It just,
right.
It was like, we're going to the blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'd maybe go to the jail, because he was a sheriff, and work that in better. I don't know.
Something.
I needed more. Or the airport, because that had been closed down.
Right.
And, it was, and you, yeah, could try, and we can try, and maybe we can rig something up and we can escape.
That would have been better.
Yeah. Just, yeah, there were just a lot of things I just didn't understand about what was going on and why we were doing it. And could have been better.
Well, yeah, it was all right. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I wouldn't watch it again.
No, would not watch it again. I gave it like a 6 out of 10. It's probably more of a 5. But
five's where I'm doing.
I did find it interesting that the guy who pitched the movie, the guy who wrote it, went for around for a long time, kept pitching it. No one wanted to do it. Turned it into a comic book. They saw it as a comic book. Then they wanted to do it. So just had to put proof of concept in front of people, right, to make it happen. Should note that David Slade, who directed this film, has also directed another vampire-related movie. He directed The Twilight Saga Eclipse. I don't know which one of the Twilight Saga movies that is, but he directed one of those.
I mean, I know the title, but yeah, I don't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't know which one that is, but that is to his name.
I see. So.
But yeah, it was
A movie.
It was a movie. That's probably the best I can give it. It was a
one good thing, as you already mentioned, it ended Josh Hartnett.
This is it. I mean, this was it. Because I mean, look, I will run down his little just quick run he had, which was a good run. So in 2001, he had Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
I didn't like it, but it made him, you know, a name. Black Hawk Down.
That was good.
40 Days and 40 Nights in 2022.
Which one's that?
I think that's a romantic comedy. Sin City.
Never saw. No,
I
was in it.
The Black Dahlia.
That was okay.
And then 30 Days a Night. That was... Oh, and then he had that other movie in here as well. Hollywood Homicide. awful.
Horrible. Ugh.
The idea was there. Horrendous. We're gonna give Harrison Ford rub to the new guy, and it just, you know. But that was his run.
You could just feel there was no camaraderie. Yeah, that was a horrible movie.
Was it? He had like a six year run there where it was like he's gonna be the next leading man.
Did he do something?
No, I think he just, you know, I think it didn't work.
I don't really remember any that he just.
He's still acting.
Did he opt out? Did they opt out?
He's still acting. He's actually, and I haven't watched this, he is in 10 episodes of Die Hard, the Kevin Hart show, as Josh Hartnett.
Maybe they're neighbors.
You're something, I don't know.
All right.
So, let's go ahead to our next film, which was your selection for the week. Chinese-speaking Vampires came out in 2021. Has a 1 hour and 20-minute runtime. A 4.8 on the IMDb. No Rotten Tomato meter page. Or no Rotten Tomatoes page. It is about an actor who is desperate to get a role in a film where he has to speak Mandarin. He has learned his lines, but not actually how to speak Mandarin. So he goes to a school to try and learn. The Mandarin Learning Center, actually. Ma's, I believe, Mandarin Learning Center. Well, it turns out Ma is a vampire, and if he bites you, not only do you get all of the normal things that are associated with vampires, you then instantly are able to speak Mandarin. I'll go first. I thought this was a lot of fun. I love the concept. Again, I'm going to argue the opposite of this other film. This should have been much quicker paced. It took him a little bit longer than I needed to get to the vampire stuff. A little bit too much dilly-dallying and stuff in the beginning, but and I wanted more on these religious fanatics that were coming after them. But I thought that the what's his name, Davey Williams, who is the star of the film, Tony, and he is the writer. I thought he did a really good job. And I think, you know, everyone, it was fun. It was a fun little ride. What do you think?
Same thing. Yeah, it was like, all right, I got exactly what it said. That's the reason I picked it. I was flat. I had four of the movies I was going between, and I had them already down and was going to pick one of them. And then for some reason, I just kept scrolling. And we're always talking about vampires that know karate all of a sudden. And I think that's because to me, I didn't understand when that happened with Blade, that just all of a sudden we got these kick-ass vampires that know all this martial arts. So I saw that, I was like, well, there you go. That's got to be the one. So, it was what it was. I mean, I would definitely tell people if they like this kind of movie, this genre of movie, to check it out, because it's not something I would watch again. It's not going to be any... oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. But I enjoyed my time with it. It was funny. It was fun.
So, Davey Williams, the star of the film and writer, do you know what his nickname is? Did you go to his IMDb page?
I did not.
He's known as the Mandarin-speaking Montanan. He has appeared in more than 50 films, mostly Chinese productions. So I guess that is, I'm sure he just
found his niche.
He got his niche. He's like, I'm going to be, you know, this guy. And so he, I guess, made it a movie about his experience as a.
So he actually sat in Montana and said, I'm going to learn Mandarin so I can be in some Chinese movies.
That's right.
Works for me.
Yep.
Ain't nothing else to do in Montana.
That's right. the best part of this film, I think, was. I thought Ma, I think that's how it's pronounced. I think he was good when he was doing some of the teaching and some of the playfulness with that. That was good, especially when they got to the point of class where everyone else or a bunch of the people were vampires already,
right.
And our two guys were not.
I know.
And he was going over these battle plans, and they're like, "We were talking about travel last week. We have no clue what you're saying." And then they go into the normal class. So that, I appreciated that. And I like the fact that when he got bit, they had the whole evil bad guy spiel. We're going to take over the world. And he's just like, look, I just signed up to learn Mandarin. I'm not interested in all this. I don't want to be a part of your family. Like, that whole fun dynamic there was the best part, I thought. And that's why I would have liked more time with them as vampires.
Yeah. It'd have been better with more, but yeah, it is what it is. I had a good time.
What did you think of the religious zealots? Well,
they are everywhere we look, and so that was interesting because they just I'm not gonna get myself in any trouble. They were rightfully annoying. They played. yeah, I got nothing to say.
Yeah, they did their job well. I know this is a weird comparison. I don't know why. I felt like they were rejects from the They Live group. That's just what it felt like to me. Like, they missed the wrong meeting. They were going to go to another meeting, and they missed it. And then this was that group of zealots. I don't know. That's just the impression I got for some reason.
Okay. Interesting.
Don't know why. That's just how it felt. Yeah, I like this. Would you watch a sequel to Chinese Speaking Vampires?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would too.
Absolutely. Because you wouldn't have to, I don't know.
I don't know what to do with it, but there's something there.
Chinese Speaking Vampires, what could the little catchphrase be? What's a school, back to school? Back to class.
Maybe they can time travel.
Detention.
They can time travel.
Time travel.
Yeah, we can have this crew of now vampires go back in time. Like, it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Remember they grab that like lamp, they can find the lamp, and they have to have the equal transfer. And then we can have modern old school Chinese vampires in modern times, and then they
might be putting a little too much into it.
We can just do the just do the Ninja Turtles 3 plot. Just do that.
Why not?
Great film. I really enjoyed this.
I was hoping by the title you would.
Well, first of all, it's a great title, and it did not break the cardinal rule.
Nope.
It said there's going to be Chinese.
There was vampires, and them there spoke Chinese.
That. Delivered and delivered. And hey, 30 days a night. There were 30 days a night.
There you go. I think this was a successful week. Two movies that were okay.
It was good. It was, it is, I don't know about you, and maybe this is just because of how many movies are made in this genre. It is hard to find a good horror movie, in my opinion.
It's hard to find a serious, scary horror movie.
Yes.
You can find silly ones like Bloodfest. It's not scary in the slightest, but it was entertaining for that genre. It was the killer clowns kind of. It has clowns in it, by the way.
Like, I don't even know the last.
It is hard.
I don't know the last one. I would say that was like, this was like Paranormal Activity is the last one I could think of. I went through a period of time where I just stopped watching them. I just wasn't as interested in it, the genre. And, cause that was great. I mean,
pulled everything to death.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Insidious and stuff. I guess a lot of people would say that was more.
I didn't really care for that.
The Conjuring.
That we've watched. I think we're going to watch the first one, and we were okay. We're ready for a second one. We're all right to see where it's going to go, but I mean, still, it's not. I don't know. And I don't mean they have to go back to the slasher films, but you got that whole group of movies that weren't really scary. They were just either gore or creepy. Like Saw and Final Destination. I love both of those. I like the franchises, but they're not scary. They're just.
Well, I guess of the newer one, I lied. There are two modernish ones that are great that we've watched that I can think of. At least one. Train to Busan.
But again, it's a zombie movie. Well, yeah, I guess so.
That's great.
I guess so. And, yeah, I was talking about that. That was a great movie.
Get Out?
Was it scary or just... I don't know. Man, those... I think they're just really desensitized.
That could be it.
To be honest, I don't... Because even when we're sitting here watching other things, Amy's crawling up on the couch and Alex looks like he's ready for something. And I'm just sitting there like, all right. And then something goes on and I see them both jumping. I'm like, all right. So maybe it's just me.
You're beaten down, man.
My warped little mind is just no longer. Now, you want to put snakes or any kind of containment, confinement, traps thing in there, I'm all weirded out. So put the character, not me, in a coffin buried alive with snakes in it, and I would probably have an aneurysm. That'd be my guess.
Okay. Well, I think this sums up my opinion on modern horror films. Yeah. That's good.
I mean, I don't know what to do with them. I mean, I think in society, there's so many things outside our door that's scarier than what they can put on the screen that maybe we're all just a little desensitized. I mean, I don't want to go to Walmart and have somebody cough on me. So, especially these crazy Karens that cough on you on purpose. That'd be a horror movie because I would kill someone.
Did you like Brightburn? Would you classify that as a good scary movie? I did not watch it. I wanted to, and I just never got around to it.
It was all right, but I don't think I was necessarily scared.
A lot of people would say Hereditary, but I know we both thought it was a little overrated.
A lot overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole group that loves that Mother. God, I hated that movie.
I wanted to watch it. I have not. What about Midsommar?
Midsommar. Did I watch that?
Think so. It came out.
Oh, Midsommar. Yeah, again, not scary, just creepy. Just these people are a bunch of, like, old. Old was fun, but it was just creepy.
Right.
Nothing, there's no jump scares anymore. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, there's none of that anticipation of something that's coming to get you or is right around the corner or going to come. There's just, makes you shiver and not jump. I want to jump. I want to literally be thinking that I want the lights back on and something is coming to, like, Strangers. Strangers was a little
bit. Was that the last movie that did that for you?
It was a little bit. It was a little creepy.
Yeah, that was good.
That house with the couch that was very open to a big entrance behind you that you couldn't see. And that was, that was a little bit.
Strangers was good.
Strangers was kind of creepy. The Paranormal Activities, the first one was really.
That was great. After that,
it was
pretty
creepy. It was kind of scary. It made me jump a couple times, I think. But then they overdid it, and it got to be okay. I know what's happened here, and I don't really buy all that whole Paranormal Activity. But I tell you, when something like that happened to me, it made me go, oh.
Well, you know me. I'm a sucker for found footage films. I think it is a unique technique that, when applied properly, like in the Blair Witch Project, just gold.
Which I hated the first time I saw it.
My best.
Well, I told you I watched it. I saw it in Boston.
I know.
I was traveling, and right after Sixth Sense, so it just wasn't to that level. Sixth Sense was which wasn't scary. It was just like, oh crap! But so I watched it after that kind of thing. So it seemed kind of lame. I like it now. One of the worst sequels ever made.
Never saw it. Refused to watch it.
I mean, it's just, there's no purpose in it whatsoever. It's horrible.
All right. Well, I think we have put a bow on this as much as we can. Programming notes for everyone. We're going to go offline here for a second, record our bonus episode, which is going to drop on Halloween Day for Halloween Kills. So, again, set your calendars. Also, On our YouTube, we are going to put up a, or somewhere on social media, YouTube, we're going to put up our nominees for the Timmys, the third annual Timmys, where we do best movie, worst movie, best movie poster, and the more movie category, which is a movie we want a sequel, prequel, remake of. So we'll be doing that episode next, our next full length episode, where we'll be basically giving away our awards and, of course, reviewing The Voyage Home, Star Trek IV.
Tell me, Wales.
We are now entering the movies I have not seen for Star Trek. I've seen 1 through 3 and then Next Generation on movies.
And this is Shatner directed this or Nimoy?
Oh, I don't know. Nimoy directed 3.
So Shatner did this one, I think. Yeah.
I think he did Undiscovered Country as well, right?
You know what? I don't know. I have a question.
Yes.
What does God need with a starship?
Great question.
Best line in that movie.
Well, we will... So that's what's going on. Be on the lookout for all that stuff.
And somewhere I'll have my my GoFundMe page for sending Ric Flair to space. I think Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan need to go up next together. The best of the best. I mean, one was the best wrestler and the best kick, and then one was the guy that really, you know, kept wrestling. Hey,
he made some money.
He did. He put some asses in the seats.
That's all that matters.
That is all that matters. Because there's some people that put bats in seats. Yeah, I don't know if Rick would do it, but I know it has nothing to do with space. Like, so I wonder if anyone else is going to step up now and try to ride it on this. I want this space thing. I think I should go up. I mean, you know what? It's only $250,000. And I know you're saying, yeah, to me, that's a lot. But for these guys, I mean, The Rock could pay $250,000 to shine his shoes and not miss it.
I have
actor on the planet.
I'm going to one up you. Here's who I want up in space.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones, and Donald Sutherland on a trip. Put them on a trip together and send them up into space. If you get that reference, congratulations. You like good movies.
And wasn't James Garner in it too, and he's dead?
Yeah, James Garner was in it.
Dead. Is Tommy Lee Jones alive? No, I know he is. That'd be interesting.
Let's really do Space Cowboys.
I don't know if they could send 4, which it's completely automated, so they don't do anything. So maybe you could send 4 people that aren't. I would think they would still want 1 technical person, but
yeah.
So that could fit. I think 4 time. I don't know. I'm about to think about it. List of who we'd like to go. I hope that eventually this will go into where they can actually maybe orbit the planet or something. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Because yeah. I know people are now, oh, man, that Brian Cox and Joan Collins can kiss my ass. Now they're jumping on Shatner. Shut the fuck up. Shatner wanted to go to space. Who cares? He's 90 years old. What else is he going to do? It was great publicity for Blue Origin. I mean, it's all people have talked about. It's everywhere. So it works for them. Shatner got to go do something really cool. His fans like myself get to say, Captain Kirk went to space. That's awesome. I mean, shout out Joan Collins. And I don't even know if you know who she is.
No.
She was on Dynasty. She's a British. She was in one Star Trek. She was in the Star Trek where they go back and he falls in love with her and he has to let her die to keep the timeline going when Dr.
McCoy's
he grabs her.
Yeah, yeah.
That's her. And Brian Cox is the guy that's in, well, he's in secession right now, but he was the creepy dad from the ring that she goes back and visits. And Brian Cox, he's in everything. If you do. They were both on a British talk show over there and they both had to, what a waste of time. What a stupid thing to do. Shut up. Don't be jealous. Haters, man. It has nothing to do with you. It didn't take money out of your pocket. It didn't do... So, shut up.
Haters gonna hate, man.
Haters are gonna hate. I don't understand why you would even mention that. Say, well, you know, if you get asked... Okay, they were asked the question. I guess they didn't just bring it up out of the blue. They were asked the question. probably because Joan Collins had acted with Shatner before. So you say, it's not something I'd want to do, but good for him. Done. Move on. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. We're going to go offline. I'll call you back to record the
here it takes me.
I agree. Goodbye.